Welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And today we'll be learning some financial lessons from Jeremiah chapter 32. So if you have a Bible handy, you might want to pull that out and follow along with Chuck. But Chuck, give us just a snapshot of what we'll be learning today.
Well, today I'm going to teach from Jeremiah chapter 32 and extract some of the very, very deep and interesting financial lessons from that passage. Dave, years ago, I heard a friend of mine teach about learning from God's Word, and he said something that I've actually never forgotten. He said that he had been raised in a Christian home, learning the Bible and all the key Bible stories since he was a child. And what he realized is that as an adult, the Bible had become so familiar to him that it almost began to sound like nursery rhyme. Mm. In other words, it was so familiar to him that he felt like it had lost some of its saliency, some of its potency in his life. And so he opened the Bible and he asked God, show me what you want to teach me from this passage, because I'm kind of stuck in what I've always known about it. I don't know if that's ever happened to you,
sure,
Dave,
sure.
But sometimes you just need to kind of change the lens through which you're looking at the prism. And new colors come through. Mm. And that's what I've been doing. I've been saying, Lord, I know in your word there are so many things that you want us to know and understand. So I'm going to read this passage today, Jeremiah 32. And my hope and prayer is that it serves as an example of opening up the scriptures and looking at it in a totally different light. Because what we're going to find is that through Jeremiah's life, we learn some things that actually apply to us today. And especially during hard times, Dave, we tend to think that everything's got this hard edge, this strong finality to it. And when we hear bad news upon bad news upon bad news, we think, well, it's always going to be that way, and it's never going to turn around. Do you feel that way, Dave?
Sure, sometimes.
Sometimes I feel that way. But then I look into God's Word, and I see, you know, no matter how bad it can get, God always has a plan. God can always do more than we can ever think, dream, or imagine. And His Word proves it throughout history. And so today we're going to learn something that I think the world thinks that they know, which is buy low and sell high. But God's been demonstrating that He can redeem anything, no matter how bad the circumstances. And in Jeremiah's case, he bought low because after God's plan of redemption, he was going to be able to sell for very high. So it's an interesting insight, and I know that our listeners will appreciate this rebroadcast of Jeremiah 32.
Well, Chuck, we'll look forward to that. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. And several months ago, we taught from Jeremiah chapter 29, and we talked about how we turn to the Lord to have hope and to look to Him for our future. And we also talked about some specific steps that God laid out for the captives in Babylon, how to start over, some things that they needed to do in order to survive in captivity. And God's plan was very practical, and it eliminates our fear of the future. Because right now, what people are so concerned about is what's going to happen. And the Lord said, well, when it does happen, when you do go into captivity, it's going to be okay. You can accept your circumstances and start again. Well, if you keep going in the book of Jeremiah, there's some other great lessons that the Lord wanted us to learn. And here's one that I'd really never seen before. But I began began to apply it to our current circumstance, and it made so much sense to me, I wanted to share it with you. And I'm in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 6. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shallum, your uncle, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field at Anathoth, because as your nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it.' Then just as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard." By the way, that's where Jeremiah was in prison. "And my cousin said, 'Buy my field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. Since it is your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself.' Now I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver." That's about 7 ounces. "I signed and sealed the deed, had it witnessed, and weighed out the silver on the scales. I took the deeds of purchase, the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy, and I gave this deed to Baruch, son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, and of the witnesses who had signed the deed, and of all the Jews sitting in the courtyard of the guard. In their presence I gave Baruch these instructions. And this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: Take these documents, both the sealed and the unsealed copies of the deed of purchase, and put them in a clay jar, so that they will last a long time. For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: Houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land." Well, this is quite a transaction, because I want you to stop and think for a minute. First of all, you've been taken prisoner. You're being held captive by the king because he doesn't like what you've been prophesying. And the nation of Israel is not only under siege at that time. In other words, there's a war against it. There's people fighting with swords. They built siege ramps. They're coming over the walls. But it's also experiencing a famine. And the scripture says that it's also experiencing a plague. Now, I would tell you, with those three things going on, that it is not a great place to speculate on your real estate investments. You know, can you imagine anyone other than God coming to you and saying, "Buy the land in this area"? You would think, get out as soon as you can. Take everything you have and go. Liquidate. And here's what I want you to see. So often, God's ways are contrary to the world's ways. When there's a time when everyone else is fleeing and running, in the midst of that, he told the prophet Jeremiah to buy land in the area that was being decimated. Isn't that fascinating? He's going contrary to the flow because God told him to. Now, Jeremiah knew, and the Lord had revealed it to him, that they were going to be held captive for at least 70 years. Now, that gives me some indication that Jeremiah probably did not think that he would ever personally benefit from this transaction, because the Lord said to put it in this clay jar and to keep it there for a long time. Now, it's interesting that they took elaborate steps to make this transaction happen. In fact, I think this passage may contain the greatest details of a single business transaction in all the scripture. It's interesting to me to look at these steps because I think much of how they handled this transaction is still followed to this day. In other words, they had a document, a deed. They set out their terms and conditions. They had a sealed copy. They had witnesses. They preserved it. All of those things are practices that we still follow to this day. Now, here's what I think it represents. It represents an act of faith for Jeremiah to follow through on what God said. I can imagine there would be just a little pushback if he were thinking of it in terms of how much money he might make off of such an investment. I mean, there's war, there's famine, there's a plague. Can you imagine if someone said to you right now, you should speculate on land in some place like Darfur or Zimbabwe, where all of these things are possibly, some of these things are happening, and their currency's devalued, and in the middle of that, you would say, "Are you sure? God, are you sure you want me to do that?" But the scripture does not record that Jeremiah pushed back at all. In fact, I think he was demonstrating his faith by putting his money where his mouth was. In other words, he's saying, I believe God is speaking to me, and I believe what I'm saying comes from God, so much so that he told me, and he verified it through this third party who came and said exactly what God was going to say. He told me what to do. But I think there's a greater lesson here than just Jeremiah's purchase of land in a war-torn, decimated country. And we're going to come back to that because it's the lesson that I think God wants you and I to understand, to put our money where our mouth is as well. Now, what I find interesting is after Jeremiah purchased this land, and remember, they went through a great deal of ceremony and detail to make sure that it was done and it was witnessed and the clay jar was put away, that he reacted to that transaction by praying. Now, I've prayed many times in my life before a transaction. I've asked God to guide me. I've asked God to give me favor. I've even asked God to help me be a better negotiator in a transaction. But I can remember few times that I ever prayed after it was concluded. And that's exactly what Jeremiah did. He says in verse 16, after I'd given the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord. Now, this prayer is so powerful, and it's so full of insights and lessons that I think God wants you and I to learn that I want to go through it in detail, and we're going to do that right after the break. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about lessons that we can learn, biblical lessons in the midst of a crisis. And we've been going through Jeremiah chapter 32. And it's just fascinating to me that here's a city under incredible siege. They're not only in war, but they're also in famine, and they're also in plague. In other words, every possible thing that could happen was happening. The walls were closing in on Jerusalem. And in the midst of that, in the midst of that chaos and crisis, the prophet Jeremiah does a business deal because God told him to buy some real estate there. Now, this is going to make sense here in a moment, but I want you to follow with me. What was on his mind in the midst of this crisis? Because here's the question I'm going to ask you at the end. Is this on your mind after you completed a business deal in the middle of a crisis? Here's what Jeremiah prayed. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring the punishment for the father's sins into the laps of their children after them. O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to all the ways of men. You reward everyone according to his conduct and as his deeds deserve. You performed miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt and have continued them to this day, both in Israel and among all mankind, and have gained the renown that is still yours. You brought your people Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You gave them this land you had sworn to give their forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it, but they did not obey you or follow your law. They did not do what you commanded them to do. So you brought all this disaster upon them. See how the siege ramps are built up to take the city. Because of the sword, famine, and plague, the city will be handed over to the Babylonians who are attacking it. What you said has happened, as you now see. And though the city will be handed over to the Babylonians, you, O sovereign Lord, say to me, buy the field with silver and have the transaction witnessed. What an amazing prayer. Jeremiah did not complain. He did not doubt. He did not waver. He simply stated what he knew to be true, that nothing is too hard for God. That God made everything. He brought his people out of bondage. He put his people into the land of milk and honey. And then he took it away from them. And in the midst of this terrible circumstance, the Lord said to me, buy the field with silver and have the transaction witness. What is he talking about? Here's what I take from that. First of all, he's not bragging about his purchase. The business transaction was not even on his mind. Never did he say, Lord, someday I'm going to get a 1,000-fold return on my real estate investment. He said, God, I don't know why you wanted me to do this. I don't know why I'm being directed to do all of this, but I trust you with everything. Even the calamity makes sense to me because we've been a disobedient people. We've turned our back on you. Now, he could have said, Lord, I know in 70 years you're going to bring your people back, and in 70 years this is all going to make sense to me. The business did not matter. What mattered was his faithfulness, because the Lord replies to Jeremiah. And after this prayer, it says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the Lord said, I am the Lord. I'm the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? What's the Lord saying back? I can make beauty out of ashes. I can redeem the worst of the worst of the worst. It doesn't matter how bad or how decimated or how ugly it may get. God can redeem anything. And he said, I want you to mark this transaction, because one day it will be redeemed. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Do you believe that? If you really, really believe that, that nothing is too hard for God and that he is the God of all mankind, then you have nothing to fear in the midst of an economic crisis. And if you go through the rest of Jeremiah 32, he used this phrase 10 times. I will. He said emphatically, you can trust me to do these things. And he concludes this chapter with this. As I have brought all this calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity that I have promised them. Once more, fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is a desolate waste, without men or animals, for it's been handed over to the Babylonians. Listen, fields will be bought for silver, and deeds will be signed, sealed, and witnessed in this territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, and in the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills of the Negev, because I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. He says, I will, 10 times. And there was probably nobody that believed that was even possible at that time, because God restores all things. Now, here's what I want you to learn. There is a bigger lesson to this story than the transaction between Jeremiah and his cousin buying that land and what the Lord said to Jeremiah, because he's speaking that same lesson to you and me, and I don't want you to miss it. When we come back, we're going to talk about how does this lesson apply to us and the economic crisis in the United States. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking about Jeremiah 32 and the great lessons we learn in the midst of a crisis, the biblical lesson that God wants to teach us. And if you look at this story, I can just picture a day when that clay jar is dug up. And inside that jar, there's a deed that's been sealed. And it has all these names, people of old, who were witnesses to that transaction. And it's been held there for a long, long time. And Jeremiah is called forth. And the Lord says, "This is what you trusted me with." And I think it will look like one of the greatest real estate investments of all time, when at the time it looked like the most stupid real estate investment in the eyes of man. And so the lesson here is not what you think. It's not to be a contrarian investor in the midst of an economic crisis, and for you to go in with courage so that you can make a lot of money when other people are getting out of the market. I think the lesson is greater than that. That the Lord is telling us, you and I, that this world will be destroyed. That everything that we can see and feel and touch will be destroyed through famine, plague, war. One way or the other, it's not permanent. It's all going to go away. But we have the opportunity and the privilege to possess a part of the new heaven and the new earth. And to invest now in what looks like to most people a stupid real estate investment. And those of us who by faith believe God and invested in that new kingdom and that kingdom that is to come, His kingdom, not the kingdom of man, because that one is constantly under siege and will be destroyed. That's the kingdom, He says, to believe in right now. Because nothing is too hard for Him. He wants you to believe that with all of your heart. And in the midst of the scary losses that you think you may suffer here on earth, that your investments here on earth may all be eroded and destroyed, make the investment in the kingdom that is to come. Believe God will redeem this earth and make beauty out of ashes. That's the investment that He will reward for all time. Remember the parable of the talents. The one steward hid his money. He said he buried his money in the ground. And that's the money he wanted to give back to God. He said, "This is yours." He did not invest it in the kingdom to come. And the stewards that were rewarded were those who multiplied the resources they had been given for the kingdom that was to come. And that's when the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You believed me. In spite of all of your circumstances, you trusted me." And like Jeremiah, keep your faith in God, not in money and possessions. For that's what's going to be rewarded when this crisis is over and when this earth is gone. You've been given the opportunity to demonstrate real faith in God, just like Jeremiah did. The hope that is to come, the redemption of all mankind, and we're investing in that kingdom. Well, I hope you've been encouraged. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again on Monday.